The second thing is that we need to repent. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Acts 8:22 and also Acts 2:38 also mention this idea of repentance. It's a necessary part of our lives, both in becoming a Christian and also later in our Christian lives as well. But we want to be reminded of that initial commitment that as we became a Christian, we determined to turn away from sin, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 4 of I Am Resolved, 642. The third thing that we see that we must do in order to be saved is to confess Jesus. We need to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Acts 2:21 and Romans 10:13 also make reference to confessing the name of Jesus. We'll sing the first verse of number 273, Oh How I Love You. The fourth thing that we want to look at is probably one that most of us think about the most, perhaps, but not any more important than any of the others, but often neglected by the religious world at large, and that is baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us that we need to be baptized. He says there, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." In Acts 2:38 also, Peter made it clear in that passage, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." So we see the importance of baptism. And we're going to now look to our song folder. Most of us here this morning have done those things already. But as you notice, we're not even halfway through. That's just the beginning. Baptism is referred to as the new birth. The birth is just the beginning. There is a lot to do after birth. And so we're going to now look at some of the things that as Christians we need to continue. If you are here this morning and you have not taken these initial steps, then you need to take those steps in order to become a Christian before the rest of these things will hold any value to you. Again, it's like that combination lock. If you don't put the combination numbers in the right order, it won't do you any good. You go doing the praying and forgiving, being a good person, doing good work, but you haven't done those first steps. Those things aren't going to accomplish anything for you. So we've got to can't get the cart before the horse, so to speak. So we've got to get things in the proper order. As Christians, however, if I am a Christian, then I need to forgive others. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." In verse 15 he says, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We can't hold on to grudges and hatred and anger in our heart toward our fellow man and expect God to forgive us. Right. Jesus made that clear. Now we're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of number 54, Did You Think to Pray? The sixth thing that we want to look at this morning is that we need to repent, confess sin, and pray. Now remember, we talked about repentance earlier before we become a Christian. But just because we become a Christian doesn't mean repentance stops. We still have to continue to repent. Now, we talked about confessing Jesus earlier. Now we're talking about confessing sin. Unfortunately, most people get things out of order. They confess their sin and repent and pray and think that that is what gets them into Christ. But we see here that these are things that we do once we already are Christians in order to keep ourselves in a right relationship with God. 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Acts 8:22, Simon the sorcerer, after becoming a Christian and then expressing some evil thoughts, was told, "Repent, and therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee." And now we'll have a prayer. We see next that we need to enter by the door and way, which of course is Jesus. Jesus says in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The song we're about to sing says, there's no other way but His way. Everyone wants to try to get to heaven their own way, but it won't work. There's only one door. There's only one way. And we need to be sure that we are entering by that door so that we shall be saved. Let's sing the first two verses of "Why Do You Wait?" I know we generally think of that as an invitation song. In the old song book, it says, "Why do you wait your brother?" It's calling the brother to repent. In this book, it says, "Why do you wait your sinner?" We think about that, entering by the door and of course, going in Jesus' way. Sometimes we initially become a Christian, but then after that, we think we can change some rules that He didn't give us the right to change. Number 8 is a very interesting thing that often I don't think we think about, and I don't think we realize it, and I really don't think we put enough emphasis on it. We need to eat Jesus' body and drink His blood in order to be saved. John 6:54, Jesus said, "Whoso eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now in 1 Corinthians, Paul explains to us a little bit more about that, that as we take the bread and as we drink the cup, we are discerning the Lord's body, or at least we are supposed to be discerning the Lord's body. And if we're not thinking about His body and His blood as we partake those things, then we're eating and drinking condemnation to ourselves. But if we are doing it properly, then Jesus tells us if we're eating His body, drinking His blood, the bread, the fruit of the vine, then that is eternal life to us. It's one of the things that keeps us in Him. So we need to realize that it is a significant part, not just of our worship, but it's a significant part of keeping us in the right relationship with Him, partaking of His blood and body each first day of the week. And I will sing 294, and then following that we'll have the Lord's Supper. When was the last time you considered the idea that the Lord's Supper saves you? It's not something we would often think about in that respect. The ninth thing that we want to look at is becoming servants to God. And along with this, we need to serve and obey God. This is the works that we do. And I know everyone says, well, works don't save you. Well, works may not save you, but they keep you saved. They keep you in the light and in the forgiveness of God. Romans 6:22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." So our goal here, the end of this being a servant of God is everlasting life. In James 2:24, we see that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Romans 6:17-18 says, "You were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart and were made free from sin and became the servants of righteousness." So there are several verses that talk about us being servants of God. And if we just think about the word servant itself, by definition, a servant is one who works. If you are a servant to someone, but you won't work, you won't be their servant for very long. Because that's what it means to be a servant. It means you work. So we need to have that desire to be a worker for the Lord. Let's sing verses 1 through 4 of number 114. Do you have hope? We need to have hope. Romans 8:24 says, "We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it?" Do we have hope? I hope that we do. We sing verses 1 and 3 of number 120. Next, of course, we need to heed the doctrine that we are being taught and that we are teaching. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Timothy is told, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Along with this doctrine and heeding the doctrine, we need to also have a love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 talks about one who did not have the love of the truth and they perished. But if they had received the love of the truth, they might have been saved. And we want to be of those who receive the love of the truth so that we might be saved. This next song is on the back of our outline as well. Of course, one of the other things that we need to consider is that we need to sow to the Spirit. You know, we often are concerned about physical things, but if we're going to be servants of Christ, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be saved, we have to be concerned about spiritual things. We need to sow to the Spirit in holiness. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And sowing to the Spirit is going to bring us that holiness that was mentioned in Romans 6:22. That being the servants of God, we'll have our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We'll sing the first verse. Another thing that we don't do as well as we should is watch your words. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We need to think before we speak. Not only is Jesus' word going to judge us in the last day, but our own words are going to judge us. They're either going to justify us, or they're going to condemn us. So we need to watch our words. We'll sing the first verse of number 112, Angry Words. The last thing that we want to focus on is that we need to die to self each day and live for Christ to the end. Mark 8:35, Jesus says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it." In Matthew 10:22, he says, "You'll be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Now you have endured to the end of these verses, but can you endure to the end of life? Be faithful to Him. Live for Christ every day. Let's sing number 179. Do you find yourself living up to all these things that we've looked at this morning? You know, Jesus, before he left this earth, he told his apostles to teach all nations to observe all things that he had commanded. But sometimes we call ourselves Christians while observing just the easy things that are comfortable for us. If we're going to be faithful to Christ, we're going to have to learn to observe all the things he's commanded. If you're here today and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you're not a Christian. We've seen how to become one this morning. Perhaps you have become a Christian, but you have not been being faithful to him in all of these ways. Just as we can't be saved without the grace of God, we can't be saved without mercy. No more can we be saved by being baptized and then not living a holy life, or by repenting but not partaking of the Lord's Supper. Christ calls on us to do all of these things, to live our lives for Him as His servant. If you're here and you need to rededicate yourself to Him for that cause, we ask that you would do so as we stand and sing.